أعوذ بالله من الشيطان الرجيم. إن الذين جاءوا بالإفك عصبة منكم لا تحسبوه شرا لكم بل هو خير لكم لكل امرئ منهم ما اكتسب من الإثم والذي تولى كبره منهم له عذاب عظيم. We spoke of the background regarding the revelation of these 10 ayat. These ayat were revealed to exonerate Aisha radiallahu ta'ala anha of the accusation that was made against her. We spoke of the incident of Iq, Hadithul Iq, the slander, the rumor, the accusation, the lie that the munafiqeen had fabricated in order to defame our mother Aisha radiallahu ta'ala anha and Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. So the one who was accused was Aisha radiallahu ta'ala anha, along with a sahabi by the name of Safwan radiallahu ta'ala anhum. Aisha radiallahu ta'ala anha, she said, I knew Allah will exonerate me. I was confident that Allah will declare my innocence. But she said, I thought that it will be some revelation revealed to Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, and he will speak of it. I never ever imagined my exoneration to be declared in the Quran. What a great honor that up to the day of Qiyamah, this exoneration will be recited. The innocence of Aisha radiallahu ta'ala anha, her purity, her chastity, her high status is recited right up to the day of Qiyamah. Such honor Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala gave her for the difficulty, the pain and the hurt that she had suffered in this episode. So Allah says, Inna alladhina ja'u bil ifk, O Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, indeed those who came forth and who produced the accusation, the lie, they are usbatun minkum, they are a gang amongst you. Usba refers to a number between 10 and 40. Anything between 10 and 40 refers to usbatun, but it could also refer to a lesser amount. So amongst the believers, we said there were three who became involved in the slander. One was Hassan bin Thabit radiallahu ta'ala anhu, great sahabi. Hassan bin Thabit radiallahu ta'ala anhu was given the title Sha'iru Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, the poet of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. But he also got involved. Then there was another great sahabi, Misbah. We spoke of Misbah radiallahu ta'ala anhu. Both of them were so great and eminent in Sahaba that they took part in the Battle of Badr as well. And then there was also a female Sahabiya by the name of Hamna radiallahu ta'ala anha. And all of them were flogged. All of them were punished. The punishment of accusation, we spoke about that. The 80 lashes, the person who accuses another, who accuses a chaste woman of committing zina, then we said that they had the penalty that must be executed and carried out on the accuser. All of these, they were lashed. Hassan radiallahu ta'ala anhum, Hamna radiallahu ta'ala anha, and Misbah radiallahu ta'ala anhu. And along with them, there were some of the munafiqeen, the hypocrites, who were also punished and who also had to face the penalty of accusation. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala tells Aisha radiallahu ta'ala anha and Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam and any other Muslim who is faced with this type of a situation where they are accused and a lie is forged against them in order to taint their reputation and to destroy them, Allah says, لا تحسبوه شرا لكم. Don't think it is bad for you. It seems very bad. It seems very evil. The whole city, the whole town, Madinatul Munawwara, speaking about this, and it is the worst type of accusation that can be ever leveled against any person, let alone the mother of the believers and the wife of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. So Allah said, Aisha radiallahu ta'ala anha, Allah informed Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, Safwan was also accused, and all the believers, don't think it is bad for you. Don't think what happened was evil for you. بَلْ هُوَ خَيْرٌ لَكُمْ. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala said, in fact, it was good. It was good for you. Look, O Aisha, how Allah has lifted your status through this. Yes, you have to suffer. There was hurt, there was pain. But through that, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala exalted her. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala raised her name. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala declared her innocence in the Quran itself. directly her innocence came down from the heaven. It was not proved in any court of law. It was not spoken on the tongue of any individual, but it was revealed in the Quran, which is the kalam of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says there's good for you in it. In other words, we should look at a situation of this nature in a positive light and see what positive lessons we could learn from it. لِكُلِّ مْرِئٍ مِّنْهُمْ مَكْتَسَبَ مِنَ الْإِذْ Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says every one of those who were involved in this accusation and who was spreading these lines against Aisha radiallahu ta'ala anha, Allah says each of them has earned and is liable for his or her share of the sin. In other words, depending on how much they had said, depending on what role they had played, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, according to that, they will receive their sin and they will be punished accordingly. And Allah speaks of the head of all of them, the main accuser, the one who had initiated this entire accusation, who was Abdullah bin Ubay as-Salul. Abdullah bin Ubay as-Salul, he was the Ra'is al-Munafiqin. He was the head of the Munafiqin. He was a disbeliever, and he was the one who started the accusation. Allah says, وَالَّذِي تَوَلَّى كِبْرَهُ مِنْهُمْ And the one who played the biggest part, and the one who played the biggest role, the main accuser, Allah says, لَهُ عَذَابٌ عَظِيمٌ For him is an enormous, huge, great punishment that he will have to face in Akhirah. Allah teaches us how to deal with this type of information. You receive information of this nature, or of any nature. A Muslim is accused of something. Some information comes to you, and today, so easily, such information is shared and broadcasted via social media and other platforms. So Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, when you hear of something of this nature, what do you do? How do you deal with it? Allah tells the believers how they should have dealt with it when they heard this accusation. Allah says, لَوْلَا إِذْ سَمِعْتُمُوهُ ظَنَّ الْمُؤْمِنُونَ وَالْمُؤْمِنَاتُ بِأَنفُسِهِمْ خَيْرًا Allah says, when you heard it, why did you not think good? Why did the believers, the Muslim male and the Muslim female, why did they not have good thought about themselves? Now, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is saying, first thing for us to consider, Allah says, why did they not think good about themselves? What does this mean? It's referring to somebody else. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says that when some information comes to you against another Muslim, you should think good about yourself. It's not about yourself, it's about that person. But thinking good about that person is thinking good about yourself. One, it's preserving that body of Islam. The moment you start thinking bad about that person, some whatever information it was, and already you are harboring ill thoughts about that person, you are destroying the relationship between you and that person, which is based on Islam. So by thinking good of the next person, you are thinking good about your own self. Think about your family. You belong to a family, and someone in that family is accused of doing something. If you are going to harbor bad thoughts about that person within the family, you are harboring bad thoughts about the entire family. Because a bad perception will be created about that whole family. That entire family will now be given a bad name. So the same thing with Muslims and Islam. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, when you hear something, don't immediately start thinking bad of the next believer. Think good. Think good. Brush it off as a lie. This is definitely a lie. He is a believer, he has iman, he believes in Allah. A believer won't commit such a crime. Don't jump to conclusion. And don't start speculating. And don't start assuming. And don't arrive at any conclusion based on assumption. That is totally haram in Islam. To arrive at a conclusion based on assumption or based on information that has not been proven in an Islamic court of law. It's a lie. It's compulsory, Islamically, the ruling. It's compulsory to consider a lie. Any information that has not been proven to be correct in an Islamic court of law. You have to believe it's a lie. So if somebody says something about somebody else, and it hasn't been proven, Islamically it hasn't been proven and confirmed as the truth, you must consider it to be a lie and think good about that person, that he or she could never have done this. They have iman and they are believers, they are Muslims. This is not the question of a Muslim. If they did it, it's none of your business. It's between them and Allah. You are not the law. You are not going to carry out the punishment. All you are going to do is harbor evil thoughts about the person, and if it is not the truth, you are going to face the consequences thereof. And if you share it, you are going to face the consequences of it. And if you are going to tell others about it, and they spread it, Allah says, وَالَّذِي تَوَلَّى كِبْرَهُ, the one who played the biggest role in spreading the rumor, he faces the most evil and the biggest consequence in akhirah. So it is very important how we deal with this. Allah says, number one, when you hear it, لَوْلَا إِذْ سَمِعْتُمُوهُ, when you heard it, why did the believing males and the believing females not think good about themselves? And why did they not say? وَقَالُوا, why did they not say, هَذَا إِفْكُمْ مُبِينَ, this is a clear lie. Just brush it off and ignore it and treat it as an accusation, as a lie, if it has not been proven in Islamic court of law. How is it proven, this particular accusation? Allah says, لَوْلَا جَاءُوا عَلَيْهِ بِأَرْبَعَةِ شُهَدَىٰ, why did they not produce four witnesses? That's it. If four witnesses did not come to you, and four witnesses did not tell you that they had witnessed it with their own eyes, خَلَقْ, it's a lie. It's a lie. And that's how it must be treated. We have learned, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala said, you need four witnesses. The act of zina must be proven by four main Muslim witnesses who had seen it with their own eyes. They did not hear about it. They did not view footage about it. They did not see a photograph about it. They saw it with their own eyes. If four main Muslim witnesses did not see it, it is no more than a lie. And again, if it did happen, that person will deal with the consequences of the act in akhirah. So Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala said, لَوْلَا جَاءُوا عَلَيْهِ بِأَرْبَعَةِ شُهَدَاءِ, those who made this accusation, why did they not produce four witnesses? فَإِذْ لَمْ يَأْتُوا بِالشُهَدَاءِ, if they did not produce four witnesses, Allah says, فَأُولَٰئِكَ عِنْدَ اللَّهِ هُمُ الْكَاذِبُونَ, those people, they are liars inside. They are liars in the court of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And that is why we said that even if an individual sees the crime with his own eyes, he remains silent. He remains silent. He doesn't say anything about it. And he continues living his life. Until there are not four witnesses, he does not speak about it. And he does not inform anyone of it. May Allah grant us that.